Jack Wilson on piano and the Jack Wilson Quartet featuring Roy Ayers on vibes with Ramblin', an Ornette Coleman composition. It's the title track from Jack Wilson Quartet's 1966 release. Monk Montgomery on bass and Varner Barlow on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. I have a little funny thing happening with my throat today. But hey, this is life. We proceed. Well, a presidency continually rocked by scandal, turmoil, and a distorted view of his own power. A Congress that dislikes the open contempt he shows it. A Republican Party that holds him personally responsible for decimating its political gains. A record exodus of Republicans from the House and the Senate. A cabinet of novices who aren't quite sure what they're supposed to be doing. A Democratic opposition that threatens often to impeach. World leaders who think he's an intellectual lightweight and a clown. Media outlets that give him no slack, sensing he's vulnerable. A wife who swats away his hand in public. His Make America Great Again political base aren't themselves feeling great about the promises made and not yet kept. And now a personal lawyer he thinks might flip on him under the intense pressure of concurrent federal investigations. It's not easy being Donald Trump right now. And yet, he's got to pull a whole lot of rabbits out of a hat right quick with midterm elections just around the corner. Can Trump survive the demons that hound him? That's the question today for you political analysts. Can he survive it? Do you care whether he does? And given this as a background, and it's now the daily diet, one kind of mess up after another, one kind of catastrophe after another, what is the likelihood that he would survive long enough to bring his party out of the mess that it's in come the midterm elections? And they're called midterms for one reason. That is, it's the middle of his presidential term. And he's arriving at that point in very poor shape. So what do you think? And let's take a look at, you know, from your perspective of just where this president has landed both himself and the nation. We certainly don't like what's going on, but it's going on. It's not stopping. Every day brings a new wrinkle to some major problem that is erupting. And, I mean, after a while, you get fed up with this. This is not the way you run a country. This is not the way you run anything. Where you're constantly putting out fires. And here's the kicker. You're starting most of the fires. The president definitely is confirming to the world, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's making it up as he goes along. I said that from the very beginning. He has no plan. He has no plan because he does not have experience and expertise in this area of being a president. He doesn't know how to manage a country. He didn't manage his own businesses very well. And now he has the direct responsibility for guiding the nation, for lack of a better term, towards some kind of a goal or goals. Except he doesn't know what they are. People he's choosing to take on the task are woefully inadequate and just as crazy as he is. They have such spotty backgrounds. But it's an amazing thing when you see white supremacy at work. They would give all kinds of credence and leeway and would defend the obviously most unqualified people to handle the most strategic jobs. And then people start acting as if this is a surprise that we're in the state that we're in. Just about every major aspect of government is out of whack. And the president seems no more perturbed about it, since, of course, he was a guy who played the major role in selecting these people to plug them into these positions. But the country as a whole doesn't seem to have a cogent plan for anything, including war. And I cannot imagine, I just can't imagine that this should be okay with the public, with us. Well, now we know that the president actually is now admitting that, yes, although he said that his personal attorney did not represent him, this is Michael Cohen, did not represent him in the matter of the lady, Stormy Daniels. Now he says, well, he actually did represent me. The lying, the back and forth, and all of these things are not just lies. Okay, they're not just lies and they're not just dodging bullets. They are confirmation that the mind of the president is addled. His brain is frazzled and fried. And he has lived his life so far in a world where he feels no embarrassment about lying, about telling people whatever he thinks he needs to tell them to just get out of a bad situation. That's how he has lived his life, his entire life. He didn't just adopt these habits. These are part of his DNA. And still the country goes on as if he is a legitimately well-settled, well-centered man. And he's not. He's never been. So, here comes a particular moment in time that perhaps will give us pause as a nation to really reevaluate what is going on in this land. We have the midterms. And the midterm elections will require massive political turnover. Every member of Congress is up for re-election. A third of the Senate is up for re-election, which means that the burden falls on the leader to have candidates inspired to do something about this country. But look at the environment. Look at the environment. You have a record number of people just quitting. It's not that they were that great and indispensable, but it's an indication of what is going on at ground level in the highest levels of government in this country. They're disgusted. His own party is disgusted. And yet, with all of that disgust, they seem to manage the idea of just going on, that they have no obligation to fix anything or to confront the myriad problems that are central to the party itself. This is your president. He's way off the farm. He is ruining the country. He does not have the intellectual and mental acumen to do this job. I mean, these are the facts. I'm not being mean, but these are the facts. You repeatedly lie about very important things that end up having to do with policy. Kim Jong-un, you despised him and you made a big thing about putting him down and all the stuff, and all of a sudden you say he's such a great guy. He's open and honest and he's got a lot of integrity. Did I miss something? You're bringing in these people. You're suggesting your candidate for Veterans Affairs has been charged with being drunk, assailing workers onto him, and a generally negative picture of a person. This is separate and apart from his professional acumen. As a person, he does not present the profile that you would think a member of cabinet should have. But then he's not alone in this regard. The cabinet is littered with people I wouldn't want to have as neighbors. I would never invite them to my house. But he's right at home with these folks. He knows that his administration is way out of hand. Everybody's got their hand in the till. Everybody's trying to make a buck. We have the Environment Protection Agency head admitting he didn't talk to anybody who didn't pay him. And these are the people leading the nation. Supposedly, we should rest easy because they have what it takes to put together a cogent plan of action that benefits everybody. But no, it's a kleptocracy. Everybody's stealing. So with that in mind, I'm worried less really about, you know, what will Trump do and how that might affect the midterm elections. I'm worried more about what we are not doing. And we're running out of time to do some kind of thing. I'm talking about between now and November, what is our plan? What is a plan, the plan? We don't seem to have one. We are going along. We have given Trump total permission to commandeer the course of action. We're all wondering every day. It's like living with a drunk. Are you feeling better today? Are you more even-tempered today than you were yesterday? Okay, that's not the way to do things. We know this guy. We need no further proof. We need no further evidence of his instability, his mental instability, his lack of intellectual acuity for this office. He's unfit. And even though we hear that annoying sound from Maxine Waters all the time, impeach 45, impeach 45, as if that's the way you get a president impeached, it hasn't happened, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Why? Because it requires work. And these folks are not interested in work. They're interested in glory. They're interested in status. They're interested in impressing people. They're interested in the goodies that come with their office. If there were really a serious determination that this president should be impeached, we'd know. But what did we see? We saw Congressman Al Green from Texas making a noble effort, but standing all by himself in outlining what he believes are credible articles of impeachment. Nobody was standing with him. They all ran for the tall grass. Despite the crazy things that this president has done in the short time that he's been in office, we haven't seen a throwdown, a proper butt-kicking in Congress. We haven't seen that. They're terrified. They're afraid to represent the people because it might cost them personally. We have a policy on the horizon now by the brilliant brain surgeon who acts like he doesn't have a brain. They put a brain surgeon not in charge of health. I mean, that might have been acceptable, but in charge of housing. Now, you tell me if that decision reflects a logical mind. No experience at all. And one of his first main policies, which was announced yesterday, was raising the rents of people in public housing. Oh, that's a doozy. Now that's great policy. Raise the rents, and he considers that policy. This is a brain surgeon with a mindless plan. But of course, he was selected because he's going to be the face of Donald Trump's assault on poor people, on people of color. And he happily obliged. He delivered his so-called plan to raise rents almost by 300% in some cases. Not to fix things, not to improve conditions. Let's just raise the rents and cause panic. That's what they want. They want people to panic. Because that, in their minds, would actually drive people closer to them. Because in a state of panic, you would likely look to the person causing you all of this pain to solve the problem. These are the brainiacs running this country. And none of this is my point, none of this is a surprise. None of it. And yet, we do not see the formation, and we've had a little bit of time, a little window of time, to at least achieve that, the formation of a viable resistance. The progressives are over in their la-la land. Working class people are obsessed with what's happening tomorrow. Even the left, the radical left, they're all waiting to see what Trump will do, as if they don't know that whatever it is he does, you will not be able to counter if you're not organized. So everybody is calibrating their politics against the craziness going on in Washington, D.C., instead of assuming that none of this is going to be to their benefit, assuming that we have to fight. We have a fight on our hands, and we don't wait to get signals from an administration which says, okay, now you can fight. No, we should be fighting. We don't need any more information about what this administration is likely to do. It doesn't know what it's likely to do. But it does know that whatever it is that it is likely to do, it has to be aimed at the most vulnerable people in our society. They know that. Now, people may want to gather into these sessions and discuss the fine details. I'm saying we're wasting time. We don't need to discuss anything in fine details right now. We need to be acting at a frenetic pace in gathering whatever is left of our strength and putting some kind of logic in whatever it is we are calling our resistance. There's no logic to it. Okay, I understand how important it is. You have to have symbolic action. Great. So we get together, we march. Fine. That is not going to change the political equation. And it does not further define a plan. We have to have a plan. At this late date, and yes, it's late, we don't see the emergence of a plan. We see people doing the same damn things that they've done before. And this is the logic. Well, it didn't work before. It didn't quite work before. But now we think it will work. You're crazy. And you're confusing the outward manifestations of things. That is to say, symbolism, symbolic action. You're confusing it with real action. We are literally on the cusp of the midterm elections. We haven't heard yet from any political organization as to what is the plan. Because it's right down the road in November. What is your plan? You brilliant strategists out there, what is the plan? What will it achieve? How well organized is your political base? So they're waiting until the eve of elections, perhaps to start getting exercised about what it is you're supposed to do, to go up against an entrenched system. See, this is what I talk about all the time. As crazy as Donald Trump is, as bizarre as his administration is, they're not waiting on Donald Trump to articulate a plan. They know exactly what they're supposed to do, and they're doing it. They're letting him, you know, have the benefit of that bombast that he likes, and the big raising all that dust with nothing behind it. They understand that. But they have a plan. And they are in control. We're talking. We're talking. We're talking. Impeach 45. Ridiculous. So I'm asking you, because, you know, I'm flummoxed about the whole thing. I don't see anything that looks like logic in the mix. I don't see anything that looks like a coordinated plan of attack. I don't see anything that even closely resembles a well thought out plan of some sort that is guaranteed to achieve something. And we keep going along. This is why you cannot blame people who refuse to become involved in a situation where the people don't know what they're doing. It's like sitting in the back of a 15-passenger van being driven by a maniac. You're not close to the steering wheel. You're not close to the accelerator. You're not close to the brake. You are just a piece of luggage. And for all these years, they still haven't gotten this thing. This is a basic thing about politics. You got to have your people organized. the higher ups, the real kleptocrats within the Democratic Party and within the Republican Party, they have their system locked up tight. It's we are the ones who don't know what the heck is next and what we will do if they should do whatever it is they want to do. And they'll do it. So, ponder this for a moment. This is our task today. It isn't so much whether Trump will survive. It is about his system assured of survival. And it's about us being unprepared again for political battle. We'll take your calls right after this break at 888-874-4888, right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're discussing here that the president of this country we know to be unfit for this job. His cabinet is unfit for the most part. And we should worry less because they've already established what they're about. They've already established what they're going to do, and they've already begun to initiate these things. But we're stuck. We're waiting for somebody to come and save us and give us direction. And yet, with the midterm elections right ahead, we see no strategy. We see no plan. We see nothing that makes sense in terms of countering what already has been established. So what do we do? Do we continue down this road? Do we go our own way? What do we do? 888-874-4888. Ma'at, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Greetings to the beloved family.
Thank you.
Yes, it's quite a dilemma, and I just want to touch briefly on Carson. He recently admitted that brain surgery is a piece of cake, but he's basically over his head when it comes to housing. In New York City, there's been a lot of scandal around NYCHA and not charting the exposure of children to lead paint, being without heat and hot water, and his solution is to raise the rents. And this idea that I think most of the people, about two-thirds of the people on Medicaid, are already working. They're the working poor. So, you know, this idea that the poor need to be forced to work, don't like to work, as we're going toward a AI automated 21st century. It just makes no sense. Now, I one ray of hope that I have through this, believe it or not, is Stormy Daniels and her attorney. He was on the air last night on CNN or MSNBC, and he made the point that he has been on target in terms of his predictions, how his responses have brought about Michael Cohen and the raids of the personal fixer, essentially, of the president. So he says that Trump is not going to going to be able to fill out his term, as it were. So that feels hopeful to me, although Pence is a problem, but he would sort of be a lame duck. What's your thoughts, Yatrice?
Again, I'm worrying less about them, because even when they fail, there is a system that retrieves them. There's a system that makes them whole again. I mean, you look at Mike Pompeo, who has just been confirmed.
Oh, no.
Everybody says, well, he's a racist. He's anti-Islam, and he's got this awful background. The fact is, he still got through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are we talking about?
And pair him with John Bolton.
Them. They have a system that works for them, even with incredible amounts of opposition. They get their job done. We are sitting around and we are observing the fray, but we're not in it. And we have every reason to fight. We have to fight against what we see and what we know this administration will do, and future administrations, what they can do. You mean to tell me that we have the announcement, and we knew it was coming, that the poor in public housing and public housing itself will be under relentless attack, vicious attack, in order to placate the real estate interest in this country? And we haven't yet seen people in the street. We're talking now millions of people. And we're all just calm and, well, you know, I hope it doesn't happen. But if it does happen, then what? The fact is, we have not yet responded, not in the street and not in Congress. It's the same thing that's going on, a kind of malaise. And we yield our ground to the forces that are set up against us. We show no resistance. And this is so mind-boggling to me. So mind-boggling. Thank you for your call. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice. Thanks for taking
Hello.
My call. The last caller is an example of how we are paralyzed in this whole thing when it comes to what to do. For the whole last year, it was all about how they were going to find out that Trump colluded with the Russians. This year, 2018, is Stormy Daniels' year. You know, we're waiting for that.
Are we having a lot of interference? I think it's wind. It sounds like it's windy where you are.
Yeah, it's windy. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, 2018, it seems like it's the Stormy Daniel year. You know, I don't have the answer as to what we have to do. But one thing we got to stop doing is being brainwashed by the media, whether it's the left-wing media or the right-wing media, because their job is to make ratings, make money, get you hooked, and that's not where the answer is going to be at.
I don't get you.
Well, a lot of people, like I said, like the last caller, she says that the lawyer, Stormy Daniels situation, that's not going anywhere. You know, if anything, the only thing that has created is a degrading of our society, just like the right did with Bill Clinton, where now when you refer to a particular sex act, a Lewinsky, it just degraded the whole this country. It brought us down a notch, And
well, I don't agree with that, and I'll tell you why. It's because we have refused to redefine the political point. The sexual contact between Monica Lewinsky and his name is so far out of my memory now, Bill Clinton, that is not the problem. We made it the problem because it's a sexy subject. The problem is a rotten president who should have been impeached and removed. That's the problem. If people really believe that that situation degraded the country, degraded the office and whatever, the fact is he won. Bill Clinton is perhaps more popular today than he was as a president. And look at the many, look at the long list of transgressions against him. The Monica Lewinsky thing was lifted above all the other ones, but the other ones were very serious. This president was implicated. In fact, before the major drug trafficking programs of the CIA and FBI, it was Bill Clinton using MENA Airport in Arkansas to ship drugs into the country. This was while he was governor, while he was an elected
official.
He wasn't
impeached for those things. He wasn't impeached for any of that. He was impeached for lying.
Which is more important? Which is more serious? A sexual tryst or a gun running and drug running program? Which is more serious?
You're educated. You know those things. But unfortunately, those things are not out there for the mass public to that's not what they remember. You know, and the same thing is happening with this one. He's probably out getting all kinds of hookup, shady deals going on right now, just as we speak, just the same as any of the other presidents. But what are we talking about? A sex tape that they're waiting for? It's ridiculous.
What the issue, it seems to be, again, and I must say it's going to sound a little odd, but this woman has a very clear definition of what she's about. And whether people choose to cast, you know, their aspersions about her line of work or whatnot, she's making, in her view, a living. And like any other transaction, she provides services for people who are willing to pay.
She's not breaking the law
or anything like that. That has not been the issue.
I understand.
The issue is we have a president who insists on lying about it and who, in service of appearing to be a saint, is hell-bent on destroying other people. This is not somebody you want in office. It would have been quite refreshing to have him say, yeah, well, you know, we had a thing going, but we ended that and move on. But no, you're a liar. And then on top of that, you choose to believe that the public would be more willing to accept your lies than her truth. And you believe that you have the power to literally destroy your enemies. These are the things that should bother us. He's not the first president who has had sexual relations with other people. He's not. But look, here's the funny part. His wife is far more political than any other people in Congress. She said, don't even hold my hand, and I'm not hiding it. That's a subtle way of putting it in terms of politics. You could claim you're the greatest husband if you want, but I'm sending a message very subtly that you're not. We are responding to the wrong things, the wrong signals. It should be very much on the top of our list that this administration is antithetical to the interests and well-being of the people. We cannot tolerate this crap anymore. We cannot abide having Donald Trump as our leader. That's not good. That's not what we want. We cannot have somebody who has decided, rather than take care of the aggregate interests of the people, to serve as the facilitator of a kleptocracy. His family is part of it. He is part of it. And the people who comprise, I guess, the top, they consider themselves the elite of the country. Most of them have their hands in the till, and they're on a joyride, and they're having great fun, making a lot of money, and still having the power to decide what happens to you and me in terms of policy. You know, do you think they would like the idea that somebody shows up tomorrow and tells them their mortgages are tripled? No, they're not going to abide by that. They're not going to tolerate that. They're going to fight. We have to fight. We have a little bit of time. And look, I mean, it's really a bad looking picture, but I see great opportunity here. This is a time to become so ferocious that we set new paradigms in terms of our political action and choices in this narrow sliver of time. But we're not acting like it. We're not moving like it. Our leaders are not moving like it. Thanks, Tony, for your call. 888-874-4888. We can take one more call before we go. But it is important for us to recognize the times we're in. It's very important. We have to do something. And part of it is, you know, you look at it from a distance and you say, well, what can we do? There's a lot we could do. The first thing we can do is call these entities that we routinely support. Not just call them into action, but to threaten them. We're done with you. If you can't move, we are done with you. You serve no purpose. This is a time to act. And everybody is asleep at the switch. Nobody wants to be the point person in this fight. They're hoping that the best that they can do is maintain some kind of nominal presence, that they'll get enough votes from people who still believe, well, they're not the best, but they're better than anything else we have right now. So we'll go with them, and we'll still maintain this business of the duopoly, the Democrats versus the Republicans, when right this very minute in historical time is when we could make a massive difference by behaving entirely differently from what they expect. The Congress is opening up from all these resignations. That is something that people can push. But we have to really put up against the wall people like Bernie Sanders and others who had come forward, the Green Party, as logical choices. Now the field is a lot less cluttered. What are you doing? I don't see people organizing in the community. I don't see them talking about the issues that people are concerned about in the community. I don't see a plan of action to capture more political ground and to advance the ideas that had been snuffed out. This president isn't all-powerful. He is very vulnerable right now. To what degree are they taking advantage of that vulnerability? They're not. They're just talking about, you know, how terrible he is. That's not the point. We knew he was terrible when he was coming. So that's nothing new. We're talking about what is the plan, some kind of a plan, to specifically advance our collective interests. What is that plan? Right now, what are we able to do to begin to aggressively turn this thing around? They're acting like it's a done deal. We can't even envision opposing Trump and his administration. I say that's wrong. And we are talking on his terms when we have so much in the way of ammunition, political ammunition, that we should be talking about that would help us galvanize the support that we already do have. It may not be massive, but it's there. And we could do something with it. But people have already run to their respective corners, and they're hiding from true political engagement. They're avoiding it. And they're giving Donald Trump and his administration, they're giving them the prize of victory without even having them compete for it. You see, I look at these things from a very different perspective. You know, Nancy Pelosi as the titular head of the Democratic Party, the supposedly energized Democratic Party, we should see evidence of that energy right now directed at the alternative plan that we had hoped to get. Not working. Well, we've come to the end of our program today. We'll talk a bit more about this tomorrow. It's Free Your Mind Friday tomorrow, where you can speak your mind about whatever you believe is important. But I want to thank you so much for listening today. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Expanding Mind with Eric Davis, and we'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening and participating.